This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Hello and welcome to the Love and Rock Cast. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Love and Rock Cast is part of the Reader Feed, which can be found at thereaderfeed.com. It is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details and links to other shows in the Reader Feed, you can go to thereaderfeed.com. We have a bunch of them. To get all of the shows, all the comic book related shows on the Deliberate Noise Network, you can go to comicbooknoisefamily.com. And if you just want all the shows about pretty much, we have a bunch of different subjects, check out deliberatenoise.com. I'm pretty sure you'll find something there that you like. This is the, I'm going to finish up this on this episode. As soon as I can learn how to talk, I'm going to finish up part one of Sopa de Gran Paña, which is Heartbreak Soup, which is pretty much the namesake for what has become like a catch-all of the Palomar stories by Gilbert Hernandez. So thank you, and here we go. Okay, the last episode, I did a lot of talking because I kind of almost did like a panel by panel breakdown of each page. And quite frankly, I just got tired from talking. All right. I talked way too long. And that's kind of almost why there hasn't been an episode in a while. It's because I'm like, oh man, I just do not feel like going each panel by panel. Oh, so it was just exhausting. All right. So what I've decided to do is take a more, I should say a less detailed look at the book, right? The story, I should say, for Heartbreak Soup. Maybe I'll go back to doing something a little bit more panel by panel, for shorter stories, but for the longer ones, I'm gonna have to do more of a synopsis type deal, and that's what I'm gonna do starting with this episode. Now, that doesn't mean, if there's like what I consider to be a cool panel, then I will point it out, maybe talk about that one a little bit, but it just cannot be each and every one because it just takes forever, you know. And I'd much rather do short form so that you actually will go back and read the book than do something so incredibly detailed that you have absolutely no reason to need to read the book, right? Because this book, which once again is Palomar, The Heartbreak Soup Stories, a Love and Rockets book by Gilbert Hernandez. This is from, Fantagraphics, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive. I do not see anywhere, but I'm just going to say it is. Even if it's not, it is now. It doesn't actually say anywhere. So now I got to go on the inside. And yes, this is a hardback book, came out in 2003 by Fantagraphics Books. And it's probably one of the best purchases I have made, period. I mean, this is a big, thick hardback book, cost $50 back then. I don't know how much it would cost now. And once I go from here, then I'll talk about Locus, because Locus is Jaime's a contribution to history, and Yeah, it's the same thing. If you have, even if you don't have a extra $150 sitting around, you still buy these books. I love them. I absolutely love them. Anyway, last time I left off, basically, the five guys who we've been following, these five group of friends, were peeing on a wall, you know? Like I think I probably, if I hadn't, I should say, when I was younger and I used to drink and walk around and peeing on a wall, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Now, as they leave from there, Gato and Jesus get into an argument about Gato's love for Pepo, right? What exactly did he say, right? He says something like, you know, Gato thinks that Pepo is going to fall in his lap by just beating his meat. And next thing you know, Gato just goes off. He grabs him by the collar, you know, by the shirt collar. Says, what the hell are you talking about? I'll break your neck and all that kind of stuff. But it only lasts for like a panel, you know, maybe two. And then Toko starts laughing, you know, as the boys are just walking away from Gato, who's being a Gato. He starts laughing, and Toko has this problem where if he laughs, it turns into a coughing fit. And this one, once again, turns into a coughing fit. And so the guys are trying to get him to stop coughing, turning him upside on his head, whatever they can do, you know, stop laughing, stop coughing. And right in the middle of all this, there's this random panel of what is an old person. You know, because you can see they have a shawl, they're holding on to a cane with this really thin hand. Now, I'm assuming that it is a woman, although, you know, because the decor is, there's drapes, okay? All right, there's drapes and there's a flower wallpaper. That just does not scream out to me that this is an old man. It seems like an old woman, but her thoughts. She's thinking, the puny ants, one day I shall be master of the world. And I think that's just hilarious because it's just so random, just out of nowhere, you know. And that's one of the brilliance, one of the brilliant things that both of the brothers do. To just have this almost science fiction stuff right in the middle of this really human drama, you know, or they'll have this really out there science fictiony story. And then all of a sudden they'll just stop and have this real, a panel of heartbreak and angst, you know, this is the real human touch right in the middle of it. And this is, I just love it. I just love this story. Anyway, Toko stops coughing and laughing, and Jesus yells at him to go home, you know. He says, now, get the hell home before I choke you, you know. And, of course, he's being a little brother. He's just yelling out, fuck off, Bubble Eyes. I'm going to Disneyland. You'll see, Bubble Eyes, Bubble Eyes. It's boy stuff. Now, the scene switches to Chelo sitting in her bathhouse. And her bathhouse is pretty much empty. Because all of her customers have gone over to the new girl. And I don't think they've really named the new girl yet. And that's just what she says, you know. Some guy stops by and says, hey, you probably heard about the new girl. And did I say guy earlier? Yeah, no, I said girl. I said the new girl across town. And Chelo's like, yeah, but, you know, with the high prices, she won't last a week. And the guy says, yeah, I don't know, she's got a line around her van. And Chelo's like, well, look, she's working out of a van. She's not going to last. And then he's like, well, hey, why don't you come in for a shampoo today? He's like, no, that's okay. I just got one. You know, I'll see you around. And Chelo's sitting there, and the look on her face is like, huh, maybe this new girl will last more than a week, you know. The scene then switches to Pepo walking out of house after she had an argument with Carmen, you know, older sister, younger sister thing. And as she's mad, she's leaning on this like random wall. And all of a sudden, she's surprised because Manuel sneaks up and hugs her from behind, you know, and he's starting to sing to her. And you know, she's flushed because this is like her big crush, you know. And he's just saying, oh, so you're getting arguments with your sister. And she's like, yeah. And tells her some of the stuff that she's doing, the strays that she's bringing home and how it just drives her crazy. And he tells her that he once had an aunt who was like Carmen, who helped everybody, you know, but when she died alone. And he hopes that if he's ever down on his luck, somebody like Carmen or his aunt would help him, you know. And she's really, you know, and the whole point of that story was, you know, hey, you should really be nicer to your sister because she's really a nice person, even though she drives you crazy. But the look on her face is like, oh wow, he's just so dreamy. And look, he's sensitive. You know, that's the look it looks like to me. No, but she has to leave when Augustine, her little brother, starts yelling at the top of his lung, Hey Papo, Carmen's flushing your panties down the toilet, so she has to leave. And it's funny, right? And it's fun. It's what happens next is also kind of funny because Manuel is starting to walk away, and it says that, you know, he's a flirt. That's what he does. He flirts. He doesn't really think about a lot of the girls that he's flirting with. He doesn't really think, oh yeah, I want to get with this, I want to get with that. No, he just flirts with everybody, you know? But now he's starting to think of Pepo and, a different kind of way, you know. She's thinking, oh wow, you know, she's getting, you know, rather lovely. And all of a sudden Gato calls him out of nowhere, right? He's like, hey, how you doing? You know, well, that's what happens. Gato yells, hey, and he's like, hey Gato, what's up? And then Gato takes a swing at him, right? And calls him a queer, of course, because that's the big insult. He goes, whoa, what's the matter with you? You know? And he just started yelling, fuck you, queer. You think you're hot shit, don't you? Well, you ain't shit to me, queer. And so Manuel starts walking away and says, oh, well, I'm glad to see you're in such a reasoning mood. And I thought that was funny. And of course, he's just yelling at him. He's just jealous because, you know, Gato's just jealous because Manuel was with Pepo and he can't talk to Pepo. So as he's trying to walk away, you know, as Manuel's trying to walk away, Gato starts pushing him from behind and starts calling him a piece of shit and all that kind of stuff. So he turns around and he pops him. You know, Manuel turns around, pops Gato in his nose. And it really, that is the sound effect. The sound effect is pop, right? Which cracked me up. The very first time I read that, it cracked me up. And it cracks me up to this day. Like, pop. And so as Gato's laying, you know, just on the ground, the townspeople are coming around because, you know, hey, there's a fight going on. But, you know, everybody's like, are you starting things again, Gato? And it's just like, you know, this guy, he needs to just calm down. What is his problem, you know? It's his shorts, maybe. It's those shorts because, you know, a grown man wearing shorts is just horrible, right? And somebody late to the fight comes up and says, what'd he do? And he said, he pulled a hand grenade on Manuel. Right? I realized that most of the people didn't see Gato push anything. All they could have seen was him getting knocked the hell down with one punch, right? But as he's walking away, you know, and people are just dogging him out because of his bad temper. Pepo rushes to Manuel's side, like, oh, Manuel. And you can see Gato walking away. He's biting his lip. You know, his nose is discolored because he just got popped in it. And tears are running out of his eyes. And that panel was just like, oh, man, you know. Gato may be a pain in the ass and an asshole, both in the same time. But that's got to hurt. You know, he's the one who gets hit. And yet the love of his life is running to the other dude. Anyway, meanwhile, the guys, the young guys, they want to go and spy on the new Bañadora, who, as far as I know, still hasn't been named. I know who it is because I'm blessed with a sense of history by my side. I'm from the future looking back. I know who this is. But at this time, they don't know who it is. They're just thinking about spying on her, right? But the line is too long. And nobody wants to hang around all day. So it's like, yeah, forget it. I'll go away. So they're going to go over to, I think, Satch's house. Because his sister got a bunch of records. She's not home, so they're just going to listen to it. Everybody else leaves except Heraclio. The beer that he drank is making him sick. So he's just leaning up against the wall, holding his stomach like, because he can't go home hungover or drunk. So he's just standing there. All of a sudden, the Bañadora comes through and says, hey, you know, to the line outside her van, we're all closed, come back tomorrow. Right? And everybody's like, wah, which is funny. Now she calls Heraclio over and gives him a job handing out flyers. You know, say, hey, you know, you hand out some flyers, that'd be cool, right? But she notices he doesn't look good. He's feeling sick. So she invites him in to come sit down while he can get his bearings, right? When he goes in there, he sees not only the Bañadora, but there's a lady named, Ophelia and a little girl who I'm assuming is named Maricela because, you know, they're looking for Maricela's, medicine, you know? So they're being nice and giving him some medicine to help him feel better, and he takes, you know, he said, wow, I'm feeling better now, takes the flyers and leaves, and Ophelia says to the Bañadora, what did I say about becoming involved with the locals, Luba? So now we know this is Luba, okay? And she says, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it, we're all right here, you know. And then that's just how it goes, right? Now, there is what seemed to me at the time to be just a random panel, right? In fact, as many times I read this and many times I read it recently, it's still kind of, I kind of skipped over its significance. But it is Jesus arguing with Toco because Toco is still coughing, right? The next day, the guys are all talking about, you know, Heraclio's talking about handing out the flyers. And then they found out that Toco died in the middle of the night. He laughed himself to death, basically. But it was coughing. And while the guys are all hanging out, you know, including Jesus, who's sitting, you know, the guys are just all just sitting around. One of them, I think, yeah, Heraclio's petting a dog. Vicente is leaning on the wall telling a story about heartbreak soup and how it's a special recipe and only people, I'm gonna just read the whole thing. And then she set a bowl of soup down in front of me. She said it was called heartbreak soup, made with a special recipe, and that only people like me and her could eat it. Me, because she said I'd never find a girl who would want me, and her because she'd lost 5 husbands to liquor and women. Shit, I couldn't go and tell her I'd been boning her daughter, Lita, for the past 2 years, so I ate it anyway. I wonder whatever happened to Lita. Now, Vicente is the one who has, like, a birth defect. Half his face is all fucked up. I don't know how else to put it, but it is, right? So that's why she said that he'll never find somebody. And then all of a sudden, Jesus starts laughing, and he's just like, you know what Toco was laughing at? And then he tells the guys, and the faceless narrator said, of course, it was something only Toco could find humor in, but the guys had a good laugh all the same. They would have a hard time not giggling at the wake, you know, because everybody deals with grief and tragedy in their own way. And let's face it, if you knew somebody with a really fucked up, shitty sense of humor and they were laughing at something stupid and you lost them, you would laugh at something stupid too. You would laugh at that same thing, even if it's not funny. And just thinking about it and thinking about the ludicrously stupid, shitty humor that they had and how they would laugh, you'd laugh. Anyway, a few days later, things are back to normal, you know, PayPal's spending, a few days later, she's, you know, PayPal's just hanging out, and she's talking to Augustine. He gives her some money to go get some ice cream, you know. And she gives him, what was it, 75 cents for ice cream. But basically, she wants him to go away because she sees Manuel. And she's like, Manuel, your face, what happened to it? Was it that stupid gato? And he's like, no, it's just some, him and some guys had to get Toko's dad out of the local bar. And he just got a little tough, right? So she's just like, you know, so she's just talking to him. And Manuel says, you know, come with me. I just want to talk to you. Alone, right? I messed up my writing here. Huh. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then, so they're going to go somewhere to be alone. Now, meanwhile, Heraclio is putting up posters, right? The flyers for Luba's business. And one of the flyers he puts up is on the jail, you know? And this guy, I think this is Jose, he's yelling at him, hey, whoa, you must be quick of living, man. Take that flyer off of there. And, you know, Heraclio, new to town, is not really paying attention. And somebody not only takes it down, but knocks him the fuck out. One hit. Right? He didn't get popped. He got sopped. And it turns out that it's the sheriff. Now, he doesn't like Luba because Luba refuses to give him a free bath. Okay, so he's not going to help. And apparently, the only person... Oh, you know what? That's I think that's Satch. That's not Jesus. That's Satch. I'm sorry. Anyway, the only person whoever stood up to the sheriff was Pintor. And I remember Pintor was the guy who was sitting on the bench. And, So Heraclio says to him, says, oh, Pinto, huh? Yeah. Where have I heard that name? Oh, yeah, I saw him last week sitting by himself, right? And then this old lady goes, you saw Pinto? And he goes, yeah, I saw him last week, ma'am. And then she crossed herself, did a prayer, and said, well, did he look all right? He said, I guess he waved. And then, you know, she walks away and she's like, Pintor wasn't such a good boy all the time, but he had the manners of a butler, which I liked. And then Satch just goes, wow, you really saw him, huh? He only lets his old gang, you know, Manuel and those guys see him. And he's like, what's the big deal, you know? You know, what's the big deal? And so the big deal is, you know, he shows them that Pintor was dead. And Satch takes him to the graveyard and he sees the gravestone. And this really blows Heraclio's mind that he just really couldn't handle it. So he just goes and he just sits at home for the rest of the day. Thinking, you know, thinking about life, thinking about death, thinking about mortality and probably beyond. Now I realize that he's just a kid, so. It's really, really going to blow his mind. So it switches back to Pepo and Manuel, and they're walking around, and he's walking to her place, and she doesn't really notice because she's all starry-eyed. He's trying to not let anybody else see the two of them together, you know. But they end up going to Soledad Soledad Marquez's house, because he's out of town. He's like in the States or something. Yeah, he's, Manuel says he's taking care of the place because, while Soledad is in the States. And then, you know, he ushers her in there and they give each other, well, there's a really cool panel where she's giving him the look, you know, that look like, yeah, we're about to have sex right now, you know. And then once again, just to put the knife into your heart, it switches to a single panel of Gato in silhouette fishing, and he's thinking of Papo, you know. And almost immediately, without any, no, the one thing about Love and Rockets that I don't know if I've mentioned, they're very abrupt scene changes, okay? And sometimes the only thing that you get to see that there's a scene change is one of these random panels, right? Although this one with Gato is really not random, because you know that he's going to get his heart broken when he finds out that Manuel was there first, basically. Okay. But anyway, scene switches to Luba visiting Cello, you know. She wants to borrow a bottle of shampoo because she ran out and the store was sold out. And, you know, she found out that, you know, Cello uses the same brand, so she wants to come over. And, you know, she's just walking through and she's just talking a mile a minute. And she walks in, she takes a look. Oh, wow, look at these brushes. You know, look at the brush. They're great for armpits, aren't they? Say, oh, wow, these are the wrong tiles. You get some Balboa skins are perfect for this climate. And then she looks in and there's a guy in there taking a bath. And, you know, she goes, hello. And he's like, hello? You know? And it's like, wow, this is a pretty good setup. You know, this place is nice and cool. It's just, basically, she's just, as we will come to know her, just being Luba, just coming in, taking over the joint with her personality, right? And she just takes the bottle and says, okay, yeah, I'll return this later. Thanks a lot. And then the guy comes out, you know, the guy who's taking the show, like, who the hell was that? And Cello tells him to get back in the tub before I throw you back in. You know, you can tell that she made a big impression on Cello because she, girl came in to basically the enemy camp and was nice. She was friendly and she just overwhelmed with her personality through sheer will of force. No, force of will. Will of force or force of will. Who cares? She just came in and just steamrolled and impressed Cello. What else can I say? And so, one of the very few, like I said, transitions. They don't usually use caption boxes to transition, but in this case, they transition to, what's her name? I know Carmen Augustine Lucia, I believe. And they're looking for Teepin because he's disappeared again, right? And I said, you know what? We've looked everywhere. Ugh, I know where. And they go back to the house that he was underneath before. And he's in there and he's crying. And they said, you know what? How are we going to get him out here? Because Manuel and his lazy buddies aren't here to help this time. So this, so Augustine comes up with the idea, hey, we could flood him out like a gopher. So then they go and get a hose and say, you know what? He's going to have a bath after all. End of part one. Once again, this is just a big setup. You know, this was a setup for the second part. Now, I know what's going to happen in the second part, so I can already see some things. And so I'm looking for some sort of a foreshadowing. And quite frankly, I guess I just may be dumb because I don't really see a whole lot of it, right? To what's going to happen next. I know what's going to happen next. I even know what's going to happen that they don't even say in this story. And I don't see it. You know, this is like part one of a great story. That's all I can say. Once again, it's, Sopa de Grampagna, I think. Anyway, who cares? Heartbreak Soup story. In case you can't tell, Spanish is not my first language or my second, third, fourth, or fifth language. It's just one that I can talk about because they have the little pronunciation guides at the bottom of the page. Yeah, so I will be back next time with, I guess, part two of Heartbreak Soup. Thank you for listening to this section and this segment, I guess. And I will see you next time around. I love this couple of weekends.